and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567, and we stream our shows throughout the world. Today, the 9th of June, 2020, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, who will join us at 8 o'clock today, but caring, compassion, community, and courage. It's your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Ashley at the helm.
Good morning.
And we have a gray fox running around here.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that later.
Today's weather, we are looking at a high of 89 degrees with a low of 60. So it'll be a little warmer than yesterday, but our overnight lows are going to be pretty consistent around the 60s until Friday night, in which case we're dropping down because we have a slight chance of showers. Tomorrow is going to be the warmest of the next few days with a high of 93. And it is National Donald Duck Day, by the way.
National Donald Duck Day.
Yes.
Can you do the Donald Duck?
No.
You can't do that.
Do not ask impressions of me. You would
How about Elmer Fudd? You wascally wabbit.
Gouging their ears out if I tried.
I'm kind of very, very careful here. Hey, good morning. Okay, thanks. Hey, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call, 365-3793. And right now I'm watching a baby gray fox, which are known as tree foxes, which is now typing on my computer, that Sharon Clay brought in from Turtle Bay. And she's here with Ryan Odle. And today we're going to talk about Turtle Bay and some of the animal things that are happening. Like this is, okay, this story, this show, this part of the show talking about this baby is very, very important. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. So, yeah, she's like just creating chaos here in the studio. So this is her first time that she's seen anything like this. And exactly the reason we have her, you can tell by her behavior. She's just so curious about everything. She's running up to our marketing manager here for, who is she's never met yet and never met you, Carl, and yet she's running up to you guys and, you know, waving that flag. That little tail of hers is going. And
she's typing. So, she's running across my computer and changing things here.
So she's our new rescue, our new ambassador animal here at Turtle Bay. We just got her. We are so privileged. I can't even express how much so. We have a, for people that know Turtle Bay, we have a gray fox and a red fox. We have Anali, our gray fox, and Loki, our red fox. Mm-hmm. And gray fox are only supposed to live in the wild. They only live 2 to 4 years, and in human care, and in human care, they only live to 8. Well, Anali is 12.
Well, I'll be darned.
So we have way exceeded her lifespan, and she is still doing great. I don't want to worry anybody out there. Anali's doing fabulous. And
she's chewing on my. It wasn't a wire. She was chewing on a
the Velcro. I see that.
Yeah.
So Anali's doing great, but she is getting up there, and she and Loki are extremely bonded. So we have been hoping that if a gray fox, you know, was out there and could not go out in the wild, that we would be ones on the list to be able to get one. And so we have had our eyes open for 3 years and
waiting.
And so we got the call on last Saturday about her.
Are they that hard to acquire?
Well, you got to remember, we only take rescues.
Oh, okay.
And most of these guys, when they go to wildlife rehabilitators, they can get them healthy and back out in the wild, which is where they should go, right? Like, it's that bittersweet thing. We're really, really excited and privileged that she's with us. And then at the same time, we are like, uh-oh, like, you know, you should be out in the wild. And so that's sad. So we got excitement and sadness at the same time.
So tell the people why she's not in the wild. Yeah. I was totally surprised when you told me how fast it happens.
It happens so fast. So one of the things I've been saying for years is that it's people who really care about wildlife that accidentally hurt them more often than people that are trying to hurt them. So the education is so important. Somebody found her orphaned, and they had accidentally scared mom away. It was an accident. And mom had come and taken some of the babies, but for some reason missed her in the chaos or whatever. And so mama never came back. So they saw that and they got really worried. They picked her up, which is great. Like, they cared enough to want to help the baby.
Sure.
But instead of calling a wildlife rehabilitator in that moment, right then and there, they waited 1 week. That was it, Carl, 1 week. And in that 1 week that they had her, she became too friendly with people, and she can never go back out again. So,
you know, and so today when you brought her in, she's in her carrier here, and with a grate. As you know, it's just like a little dog carrier, a cat. When I put my finger up against the grate, she came over and she licked my finger. And I thought, wow. And it's just like a little puppy. And that's it. It's all it took. They were feeding it, carrying her around. And she slept with him.
That's right. For 1 week. 1 week. That's it. 1 week.
She's ruined.
And that's the thing that people...
I mean, ruined in the sense of being able to live out in the wild and not come up to people.
Right. Correct. And that's it. And it only took 1 week. And then birds happens even faster, just so you know.
Wow.
So the imprinting period on a bird can be hours. It can be minutes. It's just you have to leave them. If you're going to call... If you think they really, really need help, you need to call a wildlife rehabilitator immediately. If you can't find one, call the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Okay. And then they will come get the animal and bring it to the proper person. For example, the rehabilitator that did end up with this little girl had another kit. So what they do is they put them together so they won't bond to people because they have other siblings of a similar age. Mm-hmm. And that's how the wildlife rehabilitators keep them wild so they can go back out. And so, because a lot of people are like, well, what do they do that we can't do? Well, you don't have three baby gray foxes. Hopefully.
And so when I only have two. but I do make up for it by having exotic birds that I capture and bring across the border. But so what happened when they put her with the other kit?
So they put her with the other kit, and she did play with the other kit. I mean, she's all about play. She'll play with any other creature. So she was running around playing with it. They left her there with that wild one for 5 days, and while five or a week or something like that. But they would she would go and run and play with that one, and then the second a human would be anywhere in sight, she would leave the kit and go running to the person. So she thinks people are just the best, and so...
They imprinted her early.
And it doesn't take that long. People think just a wee.
You can do
what
it
can
with
that hurt?
You can do it with a foal. You can imprint a foal real quick just by rubbing its, you know, feet and ears to keep it from being bothered from then on. But you have to catch them early.
Exactly. So now she's going to spend her life with us. And she'll be a new ambassador.
She's so active.
Yeah, she's, you know, that crazy like a fox, I think, might be where it comes from.
She's running across my computer like four times. Yeah. I've probably got some sites in there I don't even want to know.
I actually see a paw print, maybe. No, I don't know. I thought maybe there's a paw print on there. She wants to come back out and run again. I put her back in the carrier for a few moments, see if she'll calm down a little bit. But, yeah, in the morning is Zoom time. It's get all that energy out. You know, all night long she's been sleeping, building up all that energy. In the morning it's just run.
So they are not a nocturnal animal.
They actually are. They're kind of more what we call crepuscular. Okay. So do you know that one, Carl?
Sure.
Usually you're pretty good with these.
Yeah, that means you go either way. Crepuscular. Kind of. How about dawn and evening?
You got it.
There you go.
Exactly. So dawn and dusk, dawn and evening.
There you go.
More animals that we think are nocturnal are actually crepuscular. Mm-hmm. There's not that many animals that are just truly nocturnal, that are just like the middle of the night. Right. Dusk and dawn, that's when their prey is most active. That's when they're most active. But she being a baby, I remember babies, mom tucks them away in the den, and then mom goes out and hunts. So right now, I put her to bed at like 9, and she doesn't get out. She doesn't leave that. The kennel door's open. She's in my bathroom right now at night. During the day, she's at Turtle Bay, and then at night, she has to still come home with us. And so she has a bathroom and their kennel, but she puts herself in the kennel, and then she just stays there all night because mom has put her to bed. You don't get up until mom says, I'm back with food.
Maybe I can use her to train our dog. Of course, our dog's like 12 years old. So that's great. And okay, now the gray fox you have with you now is?
Inali, she's 12.
12. And in the wild, they live 2 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a zoo, maybe 8.
Correct.
You've gotten 4 more years out of them because I think probably more individual care, that they're in a better habitat probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with our animals, we're really, really, it's really, really important to us that we spend a lot of time with our animals and that they have a really diverse life. And so they don't just stay in their habitats, their exhibits, they come out. So like Anali that we have now, the older one is, she comes out and we do free walks with her. Basically, it's an off-leash walk. We just put radio telemetry on her, a collar on her, and we go running through the woods. She gets to run around. So they get to come out and they have just such a full life. And so that's really, really important to us. It's one reason why Turtle Bay, we don't keep getting just more and more and more and more animals growing too big. We want to always make sure we have the proper ratio of trainers and caretakers to animals so that they don't just get left and forgotten.
Okay. Well, I'm here with Sharon Clay, who is the curator of the animal programs over at Turtle Bay, and she brings in such interesting animals. I mean, last time she had a boa constrictor around my neck, and she kept pulling on one end, and I didn't know what that meant, as my face turned red. And, of course, Ryan Odo will be able to get you on here right after the break.
Sounds good.
Can talk about what's happening at Turtle Bay. You know, I am ready for you all, and I know that you're being driven by the Governor Newsom. Let's just blame it on Governor Newsom. Man, I'm ready to come down and see something. I know you all are ready to have people back, but it's still, anyway. Yeah. 7:16 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by, you know what, I'm going to start off with this, with Cypress Square Barbershop. You know, they're working on, they work by appointments, they sterilize all their equipment, they're doing everything they're supposed to do, disposable aprons, disposable covers for their patients, for their customers. And it's, you know what, I missed getting my hair cut. I was so happy going down Friday. Everybody now is trying, you know, they're lined up there. It may take you a while to get in there, but not long. At Cypress Square Barbershop. Discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business, 244-9478, Man's Last Stronghold. Yeah, we ought to bring in the little baby fox in there, let it run around. So, okay, we'll be right back. 7:16 in the morning here on the 9th of June.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal, loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4, with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry-out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
And now back to our show.
Let me live and be your lifelong friend. Teach you all the secrets of the turtle kin. You can live with us.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number here tonight of June, 7:21 in the morning. And it is, by according to my watch here, about 61 degrees right now, going up to 89. Yes, I have that on my watch. Yes, it's... Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's right. My clock stopped today at 10 till 7. So I'm looking at 10 till 7 like three times, kind of look up there before 7, and then somebody yells, "Showtime!" Caught me. Welcome back, everybody. And I'm here with Sharon Clay, who is the curator, animal curator over at Turtle Bay, and of course, Ryan Odell. And Ryan, quickly, tell us what's going on right now with Turtle Bay. I mean, we're still in the process.
Yeah, I wish I could come here with the good news about our opening date. We are still eagerly watching the news, and we're hoping to hear about when this third wave of openings comes that will affect us. So definitely keep on checking in on our website and our social media, and we are eagerly waiting and excited to announce that. But in the meantime, you can always check in and see everything we're doing at Turtle Bay from Turtle Bay TV, which is our online streaming, kind of a virtual experience of every side of the museum, from animals, or you get to meet where you get to see Sharon talk about every aspect of the diverse animals that we have at Turtle Bay, to our exhibitions and gardens. And so we have this, it's a free online streaming service. You can just go over to turtlebay.org and you can look, just follow the links for Turtle Bay TV. And just like I'm sure we've all fallen into the Netflix hole, but just like that, it'll start the next episode right after. So it's just a great resource for families and for kids to have that continuing educational resource of everything we offer at Turtle Bay. And then we've also been, since the closure, really active on our social media doing live spots. I know our animal department is on there. Is it every day, Sharon?
We do a spot every day except for Sunday. So Monday through Saturday at 10:30.
Yeah.
We do what we've called animal adventures now. Uh-huh. So we have a new animal. We're trying to keep it, interesting and not just, hold an animal and talk about them every day. So we've done some behind the scenes ones. We did, the other day we showed a rehearsal for our show. Because we're still practicing to get ready. So we do all kinds of stuff every day, 10:30, except for Sunday.
And the shows that you put on with the animals, this is natural behavior on their part. It's not, you're not teaching them to play a piano.
That is correct. Everything we do at Turtle Bay is natural behavior, and we train using positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So basically all that is if the animal does something, they get a treat or a reward. And if they don't, nothing happens at all. And so the idea is that you have to build incredible bonds with your animals, and then you have to find treats and things that they really like, and basically they work for that. And so we don't force our animals to do anything. It's all natural behavior, so it's easy to train the natural behavior because they already want to do it.
Right.
And we can use those natural behaviors to educate people. So we were talking about the red foxes pouncing, and so how often has anyone ever seen a red fox pounce out in the wild? You've seen it on National Geographic, you've seen it on TV, but how often have you seen it? So we train those natural behaviors.
When we're talking about pouncing here's it'll be in the snow, and snow can be up to 3 feet deep, and the fox's ears are so good that it can hear the mouse under the snow, so it'll It'll go reach. It'll get up on its hind feet, jump in the air, and go head first into the snow. And Sharon told me 70% of the time they come up with a mouse.
Yep, come up with a rodent. 70%
or a rodent of some kind.
Yep, yeah. It's really great. Amazing hunters. And then the gray fox, like the new baby we have, the gray fox. Those are our native fox. So red fox actually are not native. I mean, there is a. I should be very specific. There are a couple of clusters of native red fox, even in this area, but people aren't going to see them. They're highly endangered. The Sierra Nevada red fox, there's like 10 or 12 of them left in the entire world, and they're up in the mountains. Most of the red foxes that we see are the European red fox, and they're an invasive species. They were brought over. They did not migrate.
Oh, somebody brought them in.
They were brought over by the British way back centuries ago. For the fox hunts.
Well, but not in California, though.
Well, on the East Coast.
On the
East Coast.
Yes, and then they migrated across.
To the point that the red fox, the British brought them with them everywhere they went. They loved the fox hunt so much that the red fox is the most widespread mammalian carnivore in the world.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
In the world. More than coyotes. Coyotes are everywhere.
Well, but coyotes are in North America, not in other parts of the world. Red foxes are everywhere. But the gray fox, here's a little gray fox. They're our native fox. They're what we always call the farmer's friend. They eat small rodents, lizards, eggs, things like that. They are arboreal. Do you know what that one means?
Yeah, arboreal is, okay, wait a minute. Arboreal is in the ground. No, in the air. Oh, no, they get up in trees. That's what it is. Trees.
Ding, ding,
ding. Yeah, because Arbor Day, right? Arbor Day. That's how I remind people. Arbor Day.
You know
Although most people don't know what Arbor Day is anymore.
I didn't know it was going to be a test today. I would have woken up.
Come on, Carl. It's always a test with me.
Arboreal, okay.
So, arboreal.
Yes, of course, they're in the trees.
In the trees. So these guys are built for life in the trees. They actually are very cat-like, even though they are a member of the dog family. They actually have semi-retractable claws, like a cat does.
Wow.
And you may have noticed, it's hard to tell with the baby, but they have a really low center of gravity. So they're really low to the ground. They have short little legs compared to, like, the red fox.
Yeah.
And then they have a really long tail with a ridge down. I'm going to take her back out. She finally went to sleep. I'm going to let you look at this ridge. It's amazing. It's just like an acrobat. It gives them balance and stability. So I'm going to take her out.
So, and what we're talking about here is we have a gray fox, a new gray fox puppy, pup, kit.
Kit.
They call them kits. And the thing about it is that when she was found or rescued, the people that rescued her didn't get her to a wildlife rehab
fast enough.
They had her for a week, and that's all it took, because she then bonded with the humans. You call it even imprinting. And so now, when she's put with another, when they got her to the rehab, and they put her in with another kit, and for over a week, but every time she'd see a human, she would leave the other kit and come to the humans. And once that happens, you cannot put them out in the wild again.
That is correct.
And that's how you got, this is how you got Loki.
Well, we got this one. That's how we got Loki was the
red
one.
Oh, no, Loki was the red one. That's right.
And she doesn't have a name yet.
Oh, she doesn't have a name yet. So, we got to have a naming contest.
No, we really do not.
Why?
We do not. So, you're going to put me on the spot with this.
Yeah, soapbox is about to get.
It's kind of a personal thing. I feel like the trainers spend so many hours raising these animals and spending all this, blood, sweat, and tears, sometimes literally, that I feel like it's a privilege for them to get to name their animals, is how I see it, actually. Because it would be like you having a child and then going, hey, let's just put it out there. Who wants to name my child? And, I mean, obviously they're not like our children in that way, but they do put all that time and energy and care and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I leave it up for the trainers to come up with good educational names. We try to always name educationally. So we're working on it. We have a list going, and sometime soon we'll pick a name for her.
Well, what's the name that where the again, you I can't pronounce it. About hunting in the morning and in the
crepuscular.
Yeah, that's a good name for her. Crepuscular. We can call her Posky.
That's great. It would be definitely an educational name. Yeah. Thanks, Carl.
Well, then people have to say, well, what is that? Then see, there opens up a whole new avenue of education for people.
Yeah, and that's literally how we name them. Like, our red fox is Loki, which is the Norse god of mischief. We did have him before the Avengers came out, just so you know, and named after the same exact, person or, mythology. Is Loki. So Norse god of mischief, and the red fox are invasive. They're very mischievous. And so we name them just like you just said, conversation starters to then educate with them.
Cool. Okay. So. Well, thanks so much for coming by today, guys. Yeah. And thank you so much for bringing your latest edition, your little Gray Fox Kit, who is just active as heck. And
she already passed, though. You saw that.
Yeah, and then she went right back. Well, she's like any puppy. That'll just go crazy for, 10 minutes and then sleep for an hour.
Yeah.
And then jump up and go crazy again.
Exactly. And we just can't wait for everyone to meet her and for her to be an amazing ambassador for her species now, and a friend to Loki and Anali. And we're excited to be open. People just keep doing what you're doing so we can be open, and we'll see you soon. Yeah. We're so excited to be open soon. We know it's coming, and the animals miss you, and we miss you. So make sure.
Yeah. Stay safe and healthy, everybody.
Safe and healthy.
There you go. Thank you so much, Turtle Bay, for being here. And we're going to take a quick break. And, Jimmy, when we come back, we're going to talk about what happened with the last night at the Americana Lodge in Redding. We had another person died in an altercation with the police. But this one sounds extremely, just from the report, sounds extremely different than most. So, this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 25 years. They're the ones we called last week when our capacitor went out on our air conditioner and our temperature in our house went way up. And they were there the next day, came in, start to finish 30 minutes, new capacitor in, the house air conditioner hasn't worked this well for a couple years, so I guess the capacitor's been going out for a while. Alliance Heating and Air, I can't say enough about them. Professional, very fair prices. They guarantee their work. They have warranties. They have it all. They're at Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org.
I know it's a lot, the hair, the bod, when you're staring at a demigod. What can I say except you're welcome for the tides, the sun, the sky? Hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're welcome. I'm just an ordinary demi-guy. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky?
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right, join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers.
It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1468 Talk Radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567-735 in the morning. Here's on the 9th of June. It's about 63 degrees right now, going up to 89 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Cornerstone Community Bank is bringing us this segment. Community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. That sounds like a mission statement, but you know what? They live up to it. And, you know, when things were easy, anybody can do it. But when the COVID virus hit, all the business was shutting down, and people needed help with that Paycheck Protection Program, Cornerstone Community Bank was a beacon that showed other banks how to do it. They were out there to help not only their customers, but anybody that needed help with this. And I can't say much more than that. They are a community bank. Two locations right here in Redding, 1845 California Street, right down from Jack's, and the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. They are still moving local dreams forward. Okay, last night, an altercation at the Americana Hotel, where they had the police got a 911 call reporting that a man and a woman were yelling. A witness concerned said the man was beating up his girlfriend. When the police arrived, they found the man covered in blood. He charged an officer. And at one point, the man was biting himself, biting off pieces of flesh off his arm. I would imagine at this point, this guy is probably in some kind of, and this is just me, this is an editorial from Carl. When you're doing something like that, there is probably something in your bloodstream besides just your regular blood. They took him down with non-lethal methods, but unfortunately, the man died later in the hospital. So there's a video of the confrontation showing the suspect appeared to be, like I said, a middle-aged white man when this happened. He was restrained after he was restrained and later died at the hospital. And people go, oh, another person killed. I can't help but think that at every briefing that goes out on the sheriffs and the police is do your utmost to bring people in and not use lethal methods. I mean, I'm sure they're told that anyway. But now I'm sure they're even being more cautioned about just take it easy. And so when something like this happens, you can't ignore it. Somebody's beating up a woman in this case. Then you're attacked, and less lethal methods or non-lethal methods were used, you know, the beanbag and tasers. And yeah. Then got him to the hospital.
I'm looking at the KRCR report currently, and it says they use batons, a stun gun, and beanbag rounds in order to restrain this guy, and he died at the hospital.
So you got to ask yourself, I'm sure that there's going to be a quick autopsy on this one, but I hope people just don't get
hopefully toxicology.
Because, yeah, of course. We're in the middle of this defund the police, or in Minnesota, they're still talking about dismantling the police department and coming back with something that serves the community better. Well, I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see how they happen. And people are saying, oh, this is stupid, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, encourage Minneapolis to do this, because it'll show one way or the other, does this work? Let them do it. insist that they do it. Be ready for to have people from Minneapolis moving everywhere, of course. But do this. Let them do this and see if they can find a way that you can keep people safe, keep banks from being robbed, people being assaulted, people being raped, and doing it without police, without the threat of a policeman there.
And without self-defense.
And without self-defense. What are, you know, the thing about the why when you can't keep people in the jail because it was too full and now there is zero bail, there is no threat there. There is no threat of going to jail for a few days. There is no threat of punishment. They get arrested. They go in. I mean, they could have just stole your car, used it to run around town, go shopping or go shoplifting, bring it back, you know, drop your car. If they catch them with all the stuff in the car, with your car, and my friends, it's zero bail. Zero bail. So there is no threat to people. There is no threat that says, hey, you're going to go to jail. And then we're going to arraign you. And then we're going to, you know, then we're going to go to trial, but we're going to keep you in jail unless you can make bail. Well, now with zero bail, they don't have to worry about it. And this is the funny thing. The NAACP, the head of the, you know, they as an organization said, we don't back this defunding police or dismantling police. And we can go through all the statistics, but, you know, police keep people safe. And you know, I just read an article about, oh, let's just, you know, shoot, is it time to do away with the cop shows on TV? I mean, just doing away with the cop shows because it shows the cops as being good people. And they arrest bad people. And I'm reading this thing, and it just goes on, and I'm thinking, really? Because, you know, I would say that the majority of police, the vast majority of police, do this to serve and protect. Are there ones in there like this idiot, this person that killed George Floyd out there? Yeah, but I would, you know, but I would hope that, you know, this just wasn't, you know, out of nowhere, this guy did this. It wasn't like there wasn't previous instances of things happening. So, I mean, and this wasn't a where he had to take his gun out, make an instant decision on something. I mean, an instant decision on something. I saw an article somebody read, why don't we teach our police to fire, you know, why didn't they fire a warning shot at the guy down in, at the guy down in Cottonwood? Or why didn't they shoot to wound? And let me, in my meager experience, let me tell you about warning shots. What kind of warning shot are you going to shoot? Over his head? Well, where's that bullet going to end up at? If you're shooting with a pistol, it's, you know what, you know, like 400 yards away, it lodges in somebody's face. A rifle, you know, could up to 1,000 yards and kill somebody. So how are you going to shoot a warning shot? You do not ever, you don't ever use warning shots.
That might be the thing that takes them over the edge from I'm really highly stressed and I have a gun and I want to die by cop. And then the warning shot might be exactly what they need to pull the trigger and escalate things even further.
Well, but the main thing is you don't know where that round's going to end up at.
Yeah.
The second part of this was, why didn't you teach them to shoot to wound? Okay. A policeman is taught to shoot, as we teach in the military, center mass. Why? Because that's the easiest place that you're, you know, it's your biggest target. And when you start trying to wound people, it just gives you so many opportunities to screw it up. This isn't cowboys on TV. This isn't Roy Rogers shooting from a running horse and knocking the pistol out of people's hands. It doesn't work like that. If somebody's got a gun and or a knife or a weapon and you and they are a threat to the police or others, the police will aim at center mass. And then if it's required, they will fire, aiming at center mass. And the other thing they do, they keep firing until there is no threat. If they've shot somebody two or three times, four times, five times, and they're still holding the gun, guess what? They're going to keep shooting till that gun's out of their hand. If you shoot and you wound somebody, let's just say you do. You shoot them in the leg, and they're wounded. What happens next? Well, as he falls to the ground, he brings the gun up and he starts shooting. So, you know, I understand what people, and I've heard this. Joe Biden says, shoot the wound. Joe Biden, this is another example of Joe Biden being totally unaware of facts and reality. It's just one of them, but on this one. Anyway, you're not going to see warning shots, and you're never going to see him shooting a wound. It's just not done. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about tenacity. You know, tenacity is probably one of the most important traits a person can have. And I saw this guy, saw him speaking once, and I thought, well, you know what? It's things like this when the whole world seems against you. You've been labeled as a mentally incompetent or a mentally undeveloped. And you've been labeled that in an early age when indeed you're not. And what you do to persevere and why we have to persevere in our country and keep moving forward and not quit. And I've got a short excerpt here from one of his speeches or one of his seminars that I want to play and then discuss that. But right now, this portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. If anybody knows how to repair a windshield, it's Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for over a quarter of a century. He's been to a number of professional schools. He has quality workmanship. Unlike doctors who practice, there is no practicing with Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He knows what he's doing, and I love that. He comes in, he doesn't practice, he does it. Guarantees his work. It's not going to waste your time. He's a man of integrity. Give him a call at 241-8373 or head out to 3208 South Market Street. We'll be right back, 7:46 in the morning, and here on the 9th of June.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Conference Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League Baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982, we're all in it together.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to C5 Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1468 of your talk radio. 7:50 in the morning, 64 degrees out there, going up to 89 today. Here on the 9th of June, this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, the only watch repairman there. A great selection of jewelry, anything from Native American jewelry to estate jewelry to Wednesday Design right there on in the shop and build, as they did with Ashley, who wanted a special gift, a special jewelry gift, mm-hmm. and she worked with them, and it was... Ashley, you really liked it. It's perfect,
yes,
huh?
It's perfect. I definitely love it. I'm looking forward to giving it to my editor when the time comes.
Okay. 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Now, you know, I've talked about tenacity before. And right now in our nation, we are at odds with each other. It says, you know, I see, you know, are we totally broken? How do we get back together? How do we join again? And the way you do it is you don't give up. You don't give up. You don't let adversity overcome you. You don't let something that you've run into defeat you. And this gent that I'm going to play right now is a former SEAL. But it's just listening to his whole story is one of so many obstacles put in front of him. Being born on a linoleum floor. Being told he's educationally, his development was stunted, that he would never be able to do things. And he overcame that with the help of a teacher and other people. But this is just some of the things that he has said. And I thought it'd be interesting to play this.
For dreams, you are going to incur a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of pain, a lot of setbacks, a lot of defeats. But in the process of doing that, you will discover some things about yourself that you don't know right now. What you will realize is that you have greatness within you. What you'll realize is that you are more powerful than you can ever begin to imagine. What you will realize is that you are greater than your circumstances, that you don't have to go through life being a victim. My mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. If you run around with losers, you will end up a loser. It's necessary that you get the losers out of your life if you want to live your dream. What if all of us took that attitude after we face a rejection and a no, or we have a meeting and no one shows up, or somebody say, you can count on me, and they don't come through? What if we have that kind of attitude? The car's repossessed. Nobody believes in you. You've lost again and again and again. The lights are cut off. But you're still looking at your dream, reviewing it every day, and say to yourself, it's not over until I win.
It's not over until I win. This gentleman's gone on to have a very successful career in the Navy and the SEALs. and then after that, and helping people. So this is what I'm talking about today is, and I don't usually do this. And I think it's the very first time I've ever played anything in 10 years. Part of it maybe because I didn't know how to until the other day. But it's about tenacity, and it's not giving up. And if you have people around you that are negative, and they're constantly negative, maybe that is impacting on what you're doing, what you're feeling. Maybe you shouldn't be around those people. Can we move forward from what happened with George Floyd? We're going to have a variety of speakers on starting this Friday and next week talking about race and how we can move forward with these with the problems that we're seeing facing right now. And we can't get into this thing about protesting and looting. Those are two different sets of people with two different sets of mindsets. You have people protesting because they want a more equal representation, a more equal treatment of everybody, and then you have people who are looters and thugs and crooks, that kind there, that are doing it for damage and for just using it as an example. Where you have, you know, it's kind of like looking at it as a, you have one bad cop and, or two bad cops. All the rest of the cops are okay. They're out there doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. And then, so to blame all the police for the actions of a few is kind of like blaming, telling us that our protesters here in Reading are bad because there's looters in Minneapolis. It doesn't work like that. It's saying our police here in Reading are bad because of the four cops in Minneapolis. It doesn't work like that. But this is where the tenacity, this is where you may not be the smartest, you may not be the fastest, you may not be the strongest, but if you don't quit, you're going to succeed. If you set your goal is, I am going to do this. I am going to try to treat everybody I meet exactly the same. And if you've reached that goal, you know, God bless you. If you haven't reached that goal because of something of a fear or like an imprinting like we did with that little fox. As you know, yesterday we were talking to the lab school out at Shasta College, and it's preschool. I asked a question, do you see bullying at an early age? Oh, yeah. 3 years old. Kids are bullying other kids. They don't learn. This isn't something like it's a trait you're born with. They have to be taught to do that. Just like we have been maybe sometimes subtly taught, maybe sometimes overtly taught. I lived in the South. I went to segregated schools. I saw those things where it was white fountains, colored fountains, drinking fountains, colored restrooms, white restrooms. And coming from the North down to the South, you know, at a young age, and you kind of you look at that and you think, you know, you've never seen that before. And then when I left this, you know, North Carolina at that point and went back to Missouri, totally integrated school. So it was, you know, so in the distance of what, you know, 2.5 states over, things had changed that much. I guess what I'm saying here is this, and I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm saying is there isn't anything that we can't face in our town and our community, because that's where we have an impact, is our town and our community, that if we let it defeat us, then bad on us. We cannot let adversity, the COVID-19. We didn't let the car fire stop us. We're not going to let the COVID-19 stop us. We're not going to let riots and, that tells that institutions are systemic racist. Systemic means it was formed that way and it stays that way. It's throughout the whole organization. I find that really hard to believe. Systemic. Meaning it permeates the whole organization as opposed to being parts, maybe, one here, two there, being like that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not preaching to people today. These are just things that I've been observing over the last couple of weeks, things that I've been watching going on, and the fact that people go, I've heard people say it's just too much. It's too much. It's not too much. We pull it together, and we make it work, just like we did in the car fire, just like we're going to recover from this COVID-19 and everything else that's facing our nation right now. If we can do it, if we have an open conversation, an open dialogue, and listen to the other person. Just listen. And they should be listening to you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
This from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump says as long as he's in the White House,
there won't be defunding, there won't be dismantling of our police, and there's not going to be any disbanding of our police.
Mr. Trump says he'll explore ways for law enforcement to do its job better and possibly, in the president's words, in a more gentle fashion. The Senate's top Republican pushing back against calls to defund the police. The aftermath of George Floyd's death.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell doesn't think much of calls by some to divert police funding to things like
arts programs and mental health resources.
McConnell disagrees with those who feel unarmed social workers would be better for confronting violent criminals.
I'm all for social work and mental health. But call me old-fashioned. I think you may actually want a police officer to stop a criminal.
McConnell says the vast majority of police officers carry out their duty to protect and serve. Bob Agnew reporting.
He's being laid to rest next to his mother, George Floyd, being buried today in his hometown of Houston. North Carolina's Democratic governor leaving no doubt about where he stands on a Republican bill that would allow President Trump to address a packed house at the August Republican National Convention in Charlotte.
That's irresponsible.
If the measure is approved, Governor Roy Cooper would most certainly reject it, and Republicans might not be able to override a veto. 7.7 million, the number of Americans laid off in April, according to the Labor Department, and followed 11.5 million layoffs in March, the coronavirus pandemic clobbering the U.S. economy. Losses moderating a bit now on Wall Street. The Dow is down 168 points, but it had been off 340 points earlier. The S&P, 19 points in the red, and the NASDAQ Composite Index currently up 26 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all, the lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash-out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park, Grove, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Already chilly relations between North and South Korea turning ice cold as the North cuts all communication with the South. The BBC's Laura Bicker in Seoul says Pyongyang especially upset about leaflets being sent across the border from the South.
They sometimes put little parcels together with rice, but they also include anti-North Korean regime leaflets, some of which are particularly unkind to Kim Jong-un. They are then launched in these huge helium balloons, and they float over the DMZ and into North Korea. Now, for years, it has been a bone of contention. In 2018, when Kim Jong-un and President Moon met, and there was that period of detente, the two made an agreement, and part of that agreement was that this leafleting would stop.
Experts say the North also frustrated that Seoul has failed to revive lucrative inter-Korean economic projects and persuade the U.S. to ease up on sanctions. News and analysis at townhall.com. Award of a longtime Philippine Peace Prize canceled this year. because of the coronavirus.
It's only the third disruption in 6 decades for the annual prize, regarded as an Asian Nobel. The awards were also canceled due to a financial crisis in 1970 and a disastrous earthquake in 1990. The Ramon Magsaysay Award is named after a popular Philippine president who died in a 1957 plane crash and honor greatness of spirit and selfless service to the peoples of Asia. The more than 330 awardees so far had included leaders like late Philippine President Corazon Aquino and Mother Teresa, known for her missionary work in India. Ron DeRockster reporting.
President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden will not face each other directly in today's presidential primaries, but voting in Georgia and West Virginia give both campaigns a chance to prove that they can assemble a coalition that's strong enough to win in November. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. And today is the 9th of June, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ashley's going to tell us what the weather is today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and into next year. This is going to be a long, this is going to be a long weather report. I'll come back in 15 minutes.
How about I just go through maybe next Monday? How does that sound?
Okay.
We are looking at a high of 89 degrees today with a low of 60 overnight. It's going to be sunny. It should be a little bit of a breeze in the afternoon. I don't know if it's quite enough to get a kite in the air, but you're welcome to try. We're looking at increasing clouds throughout the week, but higher temperatures with a high of 93 tomorrow, 92 on Thursday. Friday, finally, we're going to get a little bit of a break with a 50% chance of showers and a high of only 80 degrees before a slight chance of showers into the weekend.
Okay, and the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business, a local business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793.
And it is local, or it is National Call Your Doctor Day.
Well, and since we're here with Casey Fatch, who's the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, I guess you just tell your guys and girls to stand by.
I had no idea there was a National Doctor Day.
Well, it's also Day. But it's also National Daffy Duck Day. Does that help?
It's always national something, right?
Yeah, they find these things. I mean,
well, I think that because of the pandemic, they extended National Donut Day for a week, right? They made it a week.
I think National Donut Day is for a month. Yeah. The other day, somebody, a guest came in and brought donuts, then one of our people came in and brought donuts. Now, if that's not a temptation beyond redemption right there.
Yeah, that's not right.
Casey, what's going on with Shasta Regional right now?
Well, you know, we're
as far as being open.
We're kind of, you know, gearing back up. You know, we've obviously gotten back into the elective surgery business, and we've got quite a backlog, and so we've seen a lot of volume coming into the OR, and the emergency room is picking back up. I think people are starting to understand that there's nothing to be afraid of. Come back to the ER for the care. And then also seeing some people that are generally sicker than they would have been if they would have come in earlier. But, we're able to deal with that. So it's back to work. You know, everybody's,
All the elective surgeries are open again.
Oh, yeah.
What about the visitors for people that are in the hospital?
So currently at this point, the CDC has still recommended that, we try to restrict the number of visitors that come in. So we do allow, visitors coming in for end of life, visitors coming in for, if they're the, legal guardian, or if they're the person that has the power of attorney to come in and see patients. And then we also have a policy basically that is, kind of a case by case basis where we take a look at the needs of the patient and make a decision.
A case by case could be somebody that's yeah. in danger of dying?
Well, we always allowed somebody.
That was never
an issue. But we look at case by case basis, and we leave it up to our charge and our system to make that decision whether somebody.
How about babies?
We don't do a lot of babies, so.
Oh, you don't do a lot of babies?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. Don't do babies.
Nope.
Not you do
can't
everything.
Blame them for that.
You do everything else.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's one baby place in town, and it's not us.
So. Okay, so I know that that's always been something about being able to visit, visit people in the hospital,
right? And that was basically to also protect the patients and the staff as well. So, it's loosened up a bit.
When you see these, because y'all were the ones they brought in the COVID-19
right.
patient, most of them came into you all, and so when you see the restrictions that are put on. I guess this is more of your gut feeling on this one, but you see all the restrictions have been put on, and then we see thousands of people getting together, first of all with the Cottonwood Rodeo, and then now all of the people across the nation.
Right.
Are you seeing a rise in COVID?
There's definitely been a spike in cases across the country. So.
Okay.
That's the stay-at-home orders, the isolate, that type of stuff, made a pretty significant difference. But at this point, with all of this, rioting and demonstrating and the Cottonwood Rodeo stuff that went on, it certainly, breaks any type of logical reason, being reasonable and trying to, self-isolation, social distancing is just out the window when that type of stuff happens.
And yet from the Cottonwood Rodeo, it didn't look like we had that many, if any, from that.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that don't have symptoms that have tested positive. And so, we'll see. But still, we've had a rise in California. I think LA County's had... LA County said the largest number of new cases in a while yesterday. So it's jury's still out. There'll be some problems.
How long is this thing going to be with us, Casey?
This one, the COVID.
Yeah, COVID.
Well, it's always going to be with us. We're just going to have to figure out either a
better way of handling it.
Well, no, just we have to either get herd immunity or a vaccine. It's just that simple. Enough people have to have the disease and catch it, or we get a vaccine.
So it's important, I guess, then, is to find out really how many people have had this.
Well, the testing is a huge, yeah. Testing is, I think at this point, Shasta County has done about 6,000 tests.
Uh-huh.
Testing is important, and also the development of an accurate test for to see if people have
antibodies.
Because
we may find out.
Right.
I mean, hopefully. I mean, this is what
you might see a lot of people that had it and didn't even know.
Didn't even know it. And so we are building that herd immunity.
Working on it.
Okay. Casey, you all, when this thing first started, I looked out and it looked like a MASH unit. You had a MASH unit outside the doors there that you were screening people and triaging them when it first happened. Your preparations for the COVID, was it all consuming for everybody in the hospital?
Well, so even at this point now, still, any employee that comes in, we check their temperature,
mm-hmm.
question them on, if they've had these symptoms, those symptoms, and so we still have all of those measures in place. But when this first started, it took a lot of resources. The tents were set up. The outside of the ER screening took place because, we didn't want people getting, coming in that could potentially have COVID and sit in the emergency room and infect other people. And so we would do the screening in the parking lot and in those tents. And so, it took a lot of resources during a time where, we had a lot of, nobody wanted to, all the surgeries were canceled, volumes were down and, big revenue hits. And so this has been, This has been unprecedented times.
For many, many hospitals out there.
For a lot of hospitals, yeah. No question. Yeah, healthcare is it's not the same in this country right now. There's been some problems.
I'm with Casey Fatch from Shasta Regional Medical Center. He's the CEO out there. And we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helps. Reading Home Helpers has been around for 16 years, started on her kitchen table by Sharon Clark, and has grown into just a wonderful business that helps people, and they help people in their homes. They want to keep people in their homes where they are happier, where they get better sooner. They and all of her people have, of course, been background checked, been trained. I have all the screening. She doesn't let anybody into somebody else's home that she would not allow into hers. That's Reading Home Helpers, Sharon Clark. She will give you a complimentary consultation and in-home consultation if you wish. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com or give her a call at 226-8350. But we'll be right back after these messages, 8:15 in the morning and 66 degrees out there, going up to a whopping 89 today.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master of Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Refire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 819 in the morning, 66 degrees out there, going up to 89 today. I'm with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. Casey, we talked a little bit about the impact on COVID-19 on hospitals across the country, and people... Right. Some people said, well, if it's so serious, why are they letting, you know, why are they laying off people during this time period?
Well, let's just look at Shasta, for instance. So, we didn't have to do that. We didn't have to furlough people. We obviously, in areas that slowed down where, like surgery, we did, you know, people did go, were sent home and, nobody was, you know, there were no layoffs and that kind of stuff, but there was a significant loss in revenue.
For hospitals.
Yeah, and something like I've never seen this before ever in my career. I've been doing this for a long time, and just the fact that there were, you know, no elective surgeries, admissions were down, our ER volume was 50% of what it normally is, because people were afraid, they stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the American College of Surgeons said, you know, stop elective surgeries. Medicare came out with rules you're operating a business without the revenue. Remember, you know, nobody's ever went bankrupt from too many expenses. There's always not enough revenue, right?
Right.
And so, that was a big hit on hospitals across the country. You know, this is the business we're in. This is surgeries and emergency room visits and admissions and all of that stuff went away during COVID, and it was just about the COVID. And so, it's just that simple.
The elective surgeries are, I think I heard somebody say, elective surgeries keep the lights on.
They do.
We're talking, and when we say elective, we're not talking about, we're talking about like hip and knee replacements and shoulders. These are things that are called elective surgeries.
Right.
And people are, but it helps people. It's not elective surgeries like, oh, okay, we're going to adjust your nose today. These are
right.
ones that, that people have injured themselves or been injured and they're trying to have a hip replaced or a knee replaced or a shoulder done or all these.
Yeah, the way you look at elective surgeries, it's something you don't have to have today.
Okay.
Don't have to have it tomorrow. Don't have to have it next month. You could wait a couple months. Now that's the elective component. And so when you're talking about emergent surgeries, like somebody has gallbladder, inflamed gallbladder with stones, or needs open heart surgery, those are not elective. Those are surgeries that have to happen right away. A lot of knees, hips, shoulders, that type of stuff. We call them elective because, you need them. You need to have the surgery. It's a legitimate surgery, but it could be postponed. So that's the difference. And those are the type of surgeries that we're obviously we weren't really allowed to do.
And I want to remind everybody that Casey here is not a doctor. And so, I mean, if you ask him medical questions, he's going to say, well, you're going to need to have a doctor answer
right.
those.
That's right.
What you're doing is you've been running hospitals for a long time.
Sure.
But what you see is the impact of things, and you have the leadership in right. the hospitals to make sure
right.
things are done correctly, that all the procedures that have to be done are done correctly. But if you ask him, a specific medical question, you may have not going to answer that.
No, listen, I do have a clinical background. I did come up through and do have a narrow bandwidth of medical knowledge, but again, to your point, which is well taken, if it's a serious medical question, it's just like I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
Yeah.
So,
I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you guys doing this morning?
It's peachy.
Don't say that. That sounds like, Kehoe. That was his saying. That's not your.
No, that was mine.
I feel great, strong, and I really feel my bones.
I am standing upright.
There you go.
Ready to take on all.
Any day above ground is a gift.
Looking to have my enemies lying dead at my feet.
Yeah, I can do that.
Right.
I've got it under my coat, and it's loaded. That's you. Okay. So Okay, anyway, it isn't really medical. It's just a couple of observations. One is I was at the market the other day, and a woman got into her car, and then she put her mask on. I thought that was a bit comical. I think people don't understand what masks can really do and what ones really work. We've had, do you say 2,000 people? Say there was more like 3,000. I know I was at the front gate of the Cottonwood Rodeo. I saw everybody that walked in. And, there was people still coming in when I left at 3:30. There was well over 3,000, I'm sure.
Well, there was, I used the term 2,000 right. because 2,000
no,
plus.
Said, sure.
Yeah, but that's still a lot of people.
Then we had, the Capitol three different times. I was asked to speak once. When I was speaking, there was probably 7,000 people in the crowd. There was probably 25,000 people that went there. There was 1,500 people the other night. We've got the police going out and hugging people. I mean, Officer Montgomery, what a great guy he is, going out there and making peace, took his hat off, He hugged everybody, and everybody's hugging and locking arms. And, we're still talking about COVID here. I mean, at what point, and not only that, doesn't sun kill it? It's going to be 100 degrees. I mean, why are we even there? How do you social distance when the police aren't even doing it,
These are just statements, right? Is there a question
in
this?
I think they're important statements because I think at the beginning of the program, the tone was that this is still something that could be happening. And I'm not saying it isn't, but so does the flu. So does cancer, so do brain tumors. But that's the only thing. It's just the tone of the way it started. I kind of thought, gee whiz, and I didn't know that this gentleman wasn't a doctor when I called in because some of the statements seem to be medical. So I'm just wondering what the point is. That's all.
The point is
we're just having a conversation.
We're having a conversation. But it's more than that. Wait a minute, Terry. It's more than that. The fact is that COVID-19 is still impacting on us. Now, should it be impacting on us the way it is? In my humble opinion, and I'm not a doctor, is why we haven't opened up everything to me is ludicrous, including the city council having people coming in and being able to make statements to them.
Yeah.
To keep people out of board of supervisors and the city councils when they're not doing it is ludicrous. Not having the barbershops open when one of the board of supervisors who told us to keep it closed was getting
right.
haircuts.
Right.
All of these things. It's to me, and you and I have talked about this, when this thing first came on, we had to take drastic steps. But now we've gotten to the point that it's time to move on and to start opening up and to start getting ready if there is another wave come through in October, November, which many health experts think can happen.
Do.
What are we going to do when that happens?
Well, that's a good point. But I want to, the thing is that here's the real deal. And you know who Kirk Euler is. He's the supervisor from Placer County. We had him on our program. I've tried to get him on there. I'll give you his number so you can have him on. He's probably had a million hits. He wrote a letter to Attorney General Barr about the fact that Sacramento wanted to withhold the governor wanted to withhold any kind of disaster funds because they didn't like the way that Supervisor Euler talked to him. But here's the point. Point being is that it never was an emergency. The definition of an emergency, 8625, is that the county resources are overwhelmed by a particular threat. Now, at the beginning, we had fake threats, but it's overwhelmed. But we were never overwhelmed. We laid people off. We were never overwhelmed by a threat. We had plenty of people to take care of anybody that was sick.
Well,
so
I think
real is this?
I think what you're saying is we should have done this by location, vice.
Exactly.
It should have been a sniper shot instead of an artillery barrage.
Yeah, because let me tell you, I have friends in New York, and let me tell you, what's hit the fan in New York and New Jersey? But that's not California.
Well,
your argument about the
and relatives, and I know that a lot of the stuff that was going on was you don't put sick people with coronavirus and with elderly people, you don't put them all together.
Yeah,
well, that's one of the things that ought to be investigated.
Well, it goes back to Carl's original point about the regions. It should have been handled regionally.
This is a regional thing, just like our state. They're imposing things on us up in Northern California that make no sense.
Right.
For Southern California.
Right. 762 people die every day in California. 762 die every day.
Hey, Terry, we got to run here. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call.
Yep.
Okay. There wasn't a question in there, but Terry kind of represents, I think, the thoughts of a lot of people, and maybe even yourself here, it sounds like.
Well, I think that, you know, money quarterbacking is you know, probably my specialty. And one thing, looking at, you know, was the economic shutdown the right approach? You know, well, we'll see. It sure did a lot of damage to the economy. But did it save a lot of lives? You know, who knows? You know, I've heard people project out numbers that if we didn't shut down the economy, that two million people in the country would have died from coronavirus. Well, okay. You know, I don't know. You know, it is what it is.
You know, you see people working on that put out projections that had a you know, that based on what the information was, they were putting out projections of that 2 million. I mean, that's frightening.
Two million
people could die.
It is, and because remember the you know the Spanish flu pandemic. You know, the 600,000 people died in the U.S. and with kind of a pretty
in a
much
short period of time.
In a short period of time, and the most of them died in the second wave.
Yeah.
And so, and at that point, the country's population wasn't even close to what it is now. So, so those are all things that we try to learn from, right? So,
yeah. Hey, we're with Casey Fatch from Shasta Regional Medical Center. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy's been doing this very successfully since 1993. She's done is she's got two divisions, insurance division, a financial division, so you can get everything under one roof. They're all there together. If you got questions about what's going on in the stock market or your investments and all this, give Judy Maxwell a call at 221-0441. Set up an appointment. Head on down to 1378 Hilltop Drive. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is Redding Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Redding utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit RedingChamber.com or cityofredding.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to WeFi Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 8:35 in the morning here on Tuesday, the 9th of June. Phone lines here are 605-4567. 68 degrees right now, going up to 89 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. 365-3793. I'm here with Casey Fatch from Shasta Regional Medical Center, and on the line is Dr. Doug McConnell. Good morning, Doctor.
Hey, little Carl and Casey. Good to talk to you both.
Good to hear from you.
Good to enjoy the show and hear the back and forth. I just want to bring out a fact, or some facts I've been trying to tell folks to put things of today in context. First off, the quick sidelight on the Spanish flu, which happened a long time ago, but obviously was big. That also occurred during a time pre-antibiotics. And my entire field of thoracic surgery really didn't exist until the Spanish flu. And the major complication of the Spanish flu was a respiratory illness followed by abscesses and lung infections and pus in the space outside the lung called an empyema. And the techniques for general anesthesia, intubation, and drainage of those and resection of infected lungs were developed in response to that flu. But in those days, we had no antibiotics at all to treat any of the bacterial infections following the viral.
That's right.
So a dimension of what's called Spanish flu death are really the bacterial complications in a subject population, which really we had limited to armamentarium back then to deal with as a hospital and medical systems.
Right.
On to more modern stuff. In 1968, I was a healthy young medical student at UCLA. I know it sounds like a long time ago, but it did happen. And the Spanish flu ripped through my sophomore class in medical school, second year, and that would be 68-69. If one goes to the CDC website and looks at that, over 100,000 Americans died due to the Hong Kong flu. That's back when we named them correctly for epicenters where they started.
That's right.
It used to be, anyway, that's a separate issue, but we've now stripped that to COVID. But so 100,000 people died with an American population of approximately 200 million. That ratio, if extrapolated to today's flu, to the current COVID virus, would be over 160,000 American deaths because the population is now 320 million. My point is that our society in 1968, we didn't stop going to medical school. We had classmates that got sick. They had symptoms. There were deaths related to the same population, namely the enfeebled elderly and chronically ill or immune deficient. But the actual mayhem, using total deaths as one marker, there's other markers, as Casey knows, but the point is, total deaths were far larger than where we are right now. Also, this season, if it behaves as other viruses, we may be coming to the end of it. We don't know that. I don't have a crystal ball, nor does Casey or Dr. Fauci, but the truth is, at no time was this as big as what this society went through in 1968. That also was a tumultuous year. Vietnam issues, the Chicago riots, Nixon was, it was a contentious upcoming election with law and order being the issue. Nixon was self-described as the law and order choice. Hubert Humphrey, the sitting vice president, lost that election. But the rise of public space panic did not exist with Hong Kong flu back then, even though it, we have yet to equal, in terms of death, the same rates at anywhere close to where we are currently as a country, and hopefully we don't even achieve that. We also didn't have the same ability to track the number of new cases in those times because the immunodiagnostic techniques didn't exist. So we couldn't tell you how fast it spread through populations and which states had new cases, because the only people that counted it were people who ended up being hospitalized pretty much. Everybody else stayed at home, called their local doctor, whatever. And but now we have tests, and so we have these huge numbers of spread, which are immunodiagnostically true, but are they medically, physically worrisome? And I throw that out just to take today's risks, or at least the focus of policy making, became highly focused, sort of like a magnifying glass and being able to burn ants with just the same sun's rays by focusing on things. But what we didn't have in 1968 was 24-hour news cycles.
Right.
We had a political election going on. It was contentious.
I was going to bring that up. Is that back in 68, it wasn't 24 hours a day of news. That you had to, say, come up with it bleeds,
the
bleeds
type
of thing. A constant barrage of
this.
Plus the fact that you've got a president that's just unliked by our mainstream media. So this was a...
Absolutely.
What
we witnessed in this outbreak, Carl, there is a leveraging being used on the actual scientific facts and the public health risk, but there's been leveraging being used. And I'm not skilled enough to tell you, is it 10%, 50%, or whatever, but you're going down the right track. In other words, we use today's media and the publication to actually educate people. That's good. And then also to scare them. And as Casey was saying, people wouldn't come to the ER with regular problems. Normal routine ER visits, I think, Casey, you would agree, dropped off at the ER. It did
went from 3,600 a month to 2,000. Yeah, significant.
Okay. So people with real issues stayed home.
That's right.
And we even knew of a fellow, I think it was at... It was in town here, who had rising and continuing angina for almost a month and then finally presented to the hospital, but by then he had infarcted
I know a physician. I know a physician that was doing a telemedicine visit with a patient that had a broken hip.
Yeah. So anyway,
so he's like, listen, now you need to call 911 and come to the hospital. So
you look at my hip, it's a little bit lower than the other one. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the type of stuff that happened, unfortunately. You know.
So I would like to submit...
Yeah.
Part of what we've been doing as a country and even making policy is FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it can be an important thing to spread when it's legitimate. It's just been overused, I believe, to a certain extent. I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly how much, but there's a dimension that is important for people to understand. But we have not yet even come close to, although every day we have death, what we all went through in 1968, but every kid still went to school. No universities were closed.
That's right.
No businesses shut down.
The entire society did.
Right.
No businesses shut down or anything. So I'm thinking that when this comes back, and I think most people, most medical professionals think that there could be a second wave of this in the fall, I would hope that we would take a look at what had happened in this time and be a little bit smarter, maybe the social distancing, maybe the masking, but not shut down everything. We can't do that.
Well, we never wore masks. I can't tell you that was smart or not, but what the effect would have been had it been done. But it's quite different. I agree. We'll all be much smarter in 6 months.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It happened right at the election.
Unfortunately, I graduated from medical school. No one gave me a crystal ball.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Dr. McConnell. Thanks for calling. You bet. A little perspective there.
Yeah.
But you and I have talked about that, right. Casey, is right. that we have, you know, we have flu deaths every year, you know, 20 to 30,000.
We do. Well, we do. And remember, go back to early March when I was in here with Dr. Taggart and we, had,
right.
you know, everybody was calling in about the 40 crematoriums they're building in China. And we hadn't even had, 400 deaths in the United States at this point. And there was no, the WHO hadn't even declared a pandemic yet.
Right.
And you know, to everybody's point, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody's going to know what is you know, you can't predict the future. And it turned into something pretty significant.
Okay. We're here with Dr. We're with Dr. McConnell, but here with Casey Fatt, CEO of Shasta Regional. I want to come back and I want to talk about your Da Vinci machine when we get back. Your system. It's not a machine, it's a system.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The impact that's had on surgery
sure.
and at Shasta Regional. And where do you want Shasta Regional to be at in another 6 months? So I know it's
right.
after yeah. this, it may be difficult, but where do you see Shasta Regional yeah. heading over in the future?
Yeah, talking about shooting a 5-year plan in the foot, COVID really helped out with that. So,
okay. Hey, we'll be right back after right. these messages.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and buy that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Big Fire Radio at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live everywhere. 8:49 in the morning, 68 degrees, going up to 89 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have a Chamber of Commerce and all the things that are happening there. A couple other surprises. We're going to, like I said, Friday, we're going to have the young lady that was one of the, was the one that organized that first protest on that Tuesday, last Tuesday, that did not happen when the chief asked her to please back off for a little bit. And as we know, that then the protest was still happening. But she'll be on and talk about why she wanted to organize this and what she wanted, what she hoped the results were going to be. That'll be Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm here with Casey Fatch from Shasta Regional Medical Center talking about the impact, of course, of the COVID-19 on the hospital. But then we had two callers saying, one saying is that it was never an emergency. And the other one saying is that we handled the last time it came through here in 68. The Spanish flu did come back again, or I wasn't sure if you said Hong Kong flu or the Spanish flu.
Hong Kong flu.
When it came back through, that we lost over 100,000 people then, but the whole thing was handled differently. Right. But the changes, the one thing that was different between 68 and now is a 24-hour-a-day news cycle. And I think that, I can't help but think that had so much to do with it. But we're here with Casey, and I talk about the Da Vinci system and how it's less intrusive and all that. But what exactly is a Da Vinci surgical system?
Well, it's
am I even saying it right?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, it's a robotic platform that.
Which is why you got the robot song coming
right,
in.
There you go. Yeah, good choice, by the way. But it's something that it's going to do a lot of things for surgical programs. It's going to extend the life of the ability of surgeons to work because they're not standing over somebody, you know, actually sitting behind a console, and so they don't have the fatigue that they can get during long cases.
Yeah, let me just make this clear. When we say robotic system, it doesn't mean it's doing it by itself.
No,
you've got somebody there that's controlling everything.
You have a physician, and it's got it's a little different. It's operated, but there's foot pedals. There's places for the surgeon's hands to go. There's three-dimensional visualization, which is something that they've never really had before because they're inside the anatomy and they're seeing this three-dimensional picture. And so it's a lot more precise. There's a lot more precision and the whole objective of surgery is to disturb the anatomy the least. All right. So you go back to the old techniques of open surgery where basically, you know, they're just pulling this aside, pulling that aside and coming now to the Da Vinci where you're not moving the anatomy, you're just going around it, or, you know, and so the healing time, that's what increases the healing time.
Just like fiber optic.
Pretty much.
And they have little cameras in there so you can see everything. So instead of saying, hey, look, tell one of the nurses to push the liver over and hold it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I've actually had to do some of that stuff. You know, when I worked in a small hospital where, you know, watching general surgery and it was quite invasive. Let's just put it that way. And that's one of the benefits about the Da Vinci platform is that it just it just allows the healing time to be so much quicker because there's that you're just not disturbing the anatomy like we did back in the day.
So some outpatient or some inpatient surgery that used to be inpatient can now be outpatient.
A lot of inpatient surgeries that used to happen are outpatient surgeries now.
Okay.
Yeah, no All question. Right.
I find this really interesting. I know Linda's doctor, Dr. Gill, your wife, uses this a lot. And in her surgery, she's an OBGYN.
Right.
And this is a type of system that once you learn how to use it, but there's constantly upgrades to it. But the system you have allows that to be kind of a plug-and-play type thing.
The system we have is there won't be new. There won't be a new system developed. They'll just be new attachments and apparatus
upgrades.
And upgrades. So that's one thing for as a hospital CEO that is nice to hear because in the past these guys have been they've been coming out with a new model every 5 years, and so now at this point there'll be just new modules that they put on, and okay. So it'll be a lot.
Well, this is one of the things you've done since you've been there to upgrade, right. But also, you brought in the ward for the 5150s,
right.
People that are danger to themselves, so you could have them admitted. This we did not have that before you came in.
Right.
So you obviously are looking 5 years down the road. And like you said, the COVID kind of maybe put a dent in that, but you're still looking at 5 years down the road.
You have to. And one of the recent things that we've done is pretty much we've retooled how we handle wound care at the hospital. And so we've created an interdisciplinary panel of physicians that handle the wounds. So we have James Gonzalez, who general mm-hmm. surgeon, Richard Cross, orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Nowak, who is a podiatrist, and then actually even Matt Miles, infectious disease. And so we have this panel of physicians that are managing the wounds, and because there's a lot of different components that cause wounds, a lot of different. Diseases.
Yeah, we're not talking about a knife puncture or a bullet puncture. This is something that's
diabetic ulcers, just the normal average everyday. There's just people have a lot of wounds, and so this is a place where the patients they can come now and they can be addressed with or without surgery. But it's an interdisciplinary panel that comes together. And the healing outcomes are much higher now.
If you haven't seen somebody with a wound, that we had somebody that worked here for a while that had this problem and went and had to see a doctor very regularly, but one day started bleeding here profusely in the offices here, and I got to use first aid that I haven't used since I was in Iraq to elevate. Plug this thing. He had put your foot in the trash can instead of bleeding on the floor here. But these are things that, when wound care, this is what you're running into. Like you said, the diabetic or other things that are in the system and will not allow that wound to heal as it would ordinarily.
That's right. Yeah, and whatever the pathology is, but still it takes a group of physicians to come together and design care paths and we've finally gotten that It's been pretty amazing what's going on down there.
We're here with Casey Fatch, who's the CEO of Shasta Regional. I asked him the next time that we have him as a guest to come in here and talk about everybody's talking about a single payer care system.
Right.
There's all different ideas,
socialized
medicine, to discuss this. And, because he's been on panels for both sides on this. And to talk about this, the impact it could have on medical care, which what we see in other countries with socialized. I've lived in other countries with socialized medicine, and I can tell you, for an emergency, it worked. But when you got into regular care, and this is just Carlson, when you got into regular care, that was you don't ever want to have to go through that, at least in my opinion,
from what
I saw.
I asked a physician once that was telling me how great socialized medicine was, and I said, so you're a cardiac surgeon, and you have a patient sitting in front of you, and the government says, and you have to have this conversation with the patient. Sir, you have to quit smoking 6 months before you can have your cardiac surgery. Do you want to have that conversation with another human being? He's like, no, actually, that's a good point. So We'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Well, I can't wait to talk about this because I know there's going to be people calling in.
Oh, yeah,
what about this? Well,
yeah.
No, but that's good to be able to talk about this and have people talking about why. Oh, gosh, you know that, you know, I have insurance. That, I guess, is the main thing. If people have insurance.
Right.
Is, you know, so that they can have things taken
sure.
Care of, sure. Where their deductibles are not their entire income for half the year and
yeah.
All of this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, Casey, thanks so much for coming in here, and thank you so much for our community.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you know, you do things like the wards, and you do things bringing in new systems and all that, but I don't know if people realize how much Shasta Regional Medical Center is involved in our community and helping and giving businesses a recognition, and like we're going to be starting something with businesses that are starting up again.
Do a lot of that, yeah, that's right.
And that, so you are, you are a community hospital here,
and we keep things locally here. Anything we try to buy or services, we try to use local business.
Great. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Casey.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, Jake Mangus, Chamber of Commerce. Remember that there's a lot of going on out there. Well, let's try to keep moving forward. Don't give up, and and surround ourselves with people that are positive and not those that are negative. There ain't no easy way.